Online at agradio.org, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Hi there. Welcome to today's broadcast. Hey, did you know that there are video blogs on our website? Yeah, agradio.org. Pastor Chris spends time with a host of friends who come in and spend some time behind microphones and cameras and talk about events of the day. It's agradio.org. Look for our video blogs. Well, today, Pastor Chris continues our journey through Mark. We're in chapter 5, verses 21 through 43, with a final look at a message called Reach Out Your Hand. As we close out the week, we do so here in this amazing passage of Scripture. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon now with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
When you're panicked, you can't really focus on anything else, can you? Your sole purpose is now to find a solution to your problem. You're going to find a solution to your problem. Your life is now driven by that. Your life is going to be driven. It's going to all be formed and framed now to find a solution to your problem. And of course, if the situation grows worse, and if the situation continues to grow worse, you panic. You panic. This is Jairus. She is, and he uses the word for eschatology here, she is at the end. When the disciples had come to this point, what was their question? Well, they're in the boat. They're absolutely panicked, full of fear. Jairus is full of fear. Jesus brings that out in both scenarios. They're full of fear. And when the disciples came to this point, remember, don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing? You see people hurting. You see people suffering. You see people wasting away. And I've had that feeling. I've had that for God's people when I've seen it. And I've seen them wasting away in the bed, dying. Why? Why let them go through that? Don't you care? It's that same question that could be asked here. Did Jesus care that this little man's daughter was dying? And the answer is, of course he did. He went right away, didn't he? It's really an answer. Of course he cared. Of course he cared. Just put your hand on her, Jesus, she'll be made well. Is it faith? In the next sentence we read, so Jesus went. I don't know how many of you have come to these moments of this like panic, of panic, but at some point you will. And you will do just as all we do. You'll beg the Lord to take it away. You'll want pastor to pray that it gets taken away. What happens when it doesn't? What happens? You'll begin to question. You begin to question his love for you. This is where we are. This is the text. Heal my daughter. Put your hand on her and she'll be made well. Come now, do it. She's at the end. You're all going to be here somewhere. Text emphasizes this was a big moment for the multitudes. They get to see the show now, don't they? They get to ride this on the coattails of this and see this great performer perform something they have not quite seen yet. A 12-year-old? For they all went, it says, and pushed on him as they went. They are touching and pushing on him. So you can imagine this throng of people. Jesus is in the center and they're moving towards Jairus' daughter as fast as they can go. So here they all go. All of a sudden the text stops. It's abruptly interrupted. And this woman who has had, we read, a flow of blood for 12 years is in the middle of the crowd. This woman, what she does seems to completely distract Jesus so as to force him to stop going to Jairus' daughter. So then we have presented to us in the middle of this scene of Jesus now helping this woman, so that the sense being that Jesus, by stopping and addressing this and dealing with her, he has now lost the opportunity. It's escaped him to help Jairus' daughter, because by the time this is done, by the time he's done helping this woman, a report comes back. Jairus, your daughter's dead. Leave him alone. You can't do anything now. Why the interruption? Was this just a bad moment of distraction? And that's where I stop and say, this was a moment for everyone to stop the rush of life, to stop the come now, get it done now, and be confronted with the heart of what Jesus is after. What do I mean? You say, how are these connected? Did you notice something? Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. And this woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Do you think that's coincidental? Mark wants you to link the stories together. Mark wants you to put the stories together, telling you that the interruption of what seemed to be something that had wrecked the opportunity for Jesus to save Jairus' daughter was in fact the opportunity to teach Jairus and the multitudes what concerns him the most about, ready, stay with me, his daughter. Whose daughter? Sometimes we're in such a rush. Sometimes our following Jesus is so circumstantial. Often our connections with Jesus are merely at a distance. I've pressed you on this the last few weeks that you can follow Jesus at a distance. And that really you're just here to ride for the show. You're just here because in some way you know you should be. And we here in front of us in the midst of this is a scene, one of these great moments of panic and moments where now this person needs something from Jesus. Who else can he go to? The very disruptions and the very frustrations of life, do you ever think are meant to stop you? That you should listen to him on his terms? You want to overcome it so quickly. You want to get it done so quickly. But do you stop and listen to him? Some of you are running so fast right now, it's hard to stop and listen today. Her situation was really bad too. She too was dying. She had this flow of blood, we read. We're really not told what it was, but for years, she had suffered many things from many doctors. She had spent every dime that she had trying to get well, and the thing only kept growing worse. In fact, every single ceremonial law was broken here that forbade her even from being in the public and around the public. She was an unclean outcast. A nobody, somebody considered ceremonially unclean and somebody who should greatly be quarantined from society in their rules and regulations. Mark gives us her story. She hears about Jesus, and Mark is recounting the story, hearing it from her mouth. But he initially begins to get there. She hears about Jesus and thinks, if I just touch his clothes, I will be made well. So secretly, she walks up behind him, and as he's walking, she reaches out her hand, and she touches the edge of his garment. And verse 29 is absolutely powerful. Verse 29 is wonderful. Immediately, the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. To which I pause, and am reminded of Martin Luther describing the act of God justifying a sinner as the great exchange. I know of no better place to really capture the picture. Do you? She is absolutely unclean. She's sick. She's dying. The whole thing representing the awful problem of what sin has caused. If I just touch him, I'll be made whole. And Jesus openly says, power left me. And you see the imagery here as there was the exchange being that as she reached out and embraced him, he took on her uncleanness and his power healed her. And you think of Paul saying, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I raise that to say this is the moment that Jesus wants you to see. He wanted them all to see. In other words, he doesn't want what just happened to be concealed. Why? So he stops. Greatest interruption ever to what he needed to do, right? From our perspective. He stops. And he turns around. And he says, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? This was probably the most frustrating moment for the disciples ever in the ministry of Jesus. It says everyone was touching him. Everyone's touching him. They've been wanting to. Everyone's been touching. This has been the problem. Everyone's been touching him. He had to get in a boat to preach because everyone was thronging him and pushing him. It even says pushing him. Are you kidding? You see everyone's hands on you and you stop right now and say, who's touching me? They're in a sprint to heal Jairus' daughter who's at the end, the eschatos of death. He's at the end. Are you serious? You see the multitudes pushing on you and you want to know who touched you? Jesus ignores it. Completely ignores it. And everyone at this point begins to try to talk about the humanity and the divinity of Jesus and how this all works, of him not knowing. That's not the point. That is not the point. What he's doing here is making a moment of this. He's making a big moment of this. So he begins to survey. Who touched me? Who did it? And you stop and you say, well, if everyone's touching him, Jesus just said, only one really touched me. Only one has really embraced me. The imagery is so beautiful. She, being overwhelmed with guilt, comes forward, deadly afraid. You read that Mark says she told him everything, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And as she's sitting there telling, you can see Jairus and you can see the disciples, come on, it's taking forever. Jesus has purposely halted the multitude. Can you hear her story that day? Can you hear it? In front of everyone standing there, this is what you begin to hear. Jesus, forgive me for touching you, for distracting you. I've been sick for 12 years. Jairus is standing right here. I've been sick for 12 years. I've lost all my health. I've lost all my wealth. I don't have anything left. I'm so sorry. I know I'm unclean. I know I shouldn't be here. I know I shouldn't even be in the community. Nor should I have touched you. I know this makes you unclean. I've heard about you. I've been listening to what everyone's saying about your teachings and your word. And I said to myself, all I would need to do then, if it's true about him, and what everyone is saying and what he's been speaking, if that's true, all I would need to do is reach out and touch him, and I'll be made whole. Many have criticized this woman for a sort of magical faith. I agree that it's little faith. She didn't know much. But it was Jesus who said faith is of a mustard seed moves mountains. She had obviously been listening to him or heard the reports about his teachings and his power. In fact, maybe she was one of those who came back after the parable of the sower, who he didn't identify and came to listen to what it meant. Whatever the case, with what little she had, she believed. With what little she had. How much do you have? And didn't Jesus say, to him who has, more will be given? And after her confession, she tells the whole truth. Her expression of belief, what does Jesus say? Are you ready for it? It's the only time he ever said it. She's been sick 12 years. She comes believing. She comes confessing. And what does Jesus say? Daughter, your faith has made you well. Daughter, go in peace, be healed of your affliction. No other place do I find Jesus saying daughter. Why is Jesus saying daughter? What did Jairus come running to Jesus saying? My daughter is sick. She's on the brink of death. Jairus has been standing there, anxious, panicked, and this major distraction to his little daughter being saved. And I thought to myself, well, what did he just hear then? When she hears and recounts her whole story, and then Jesus speaks as a father does to a daughter in the next scene. And what does he say? Daughter, your faith has made you well. What had she done? She had put out her hand and embraced him. Jairus comes. Stretch out your hand and touch my daughter and she'll be well. Come now. Here's the moment I believe was captured for Jairus. And the disciples, disciples for sure, and the multitudes. You guys are crying out in fear. And you want my hand to be placed everywhere. You want physical deliverance from everything. But your daughter's need is much greater. Your daughter's need is much greater. Did you see how my daughter just came to me? You must first come and put out your hand like my daughter. Do you understand that? You are panicked, asking for your hand on my daughter. You want me to stretch out my hand. I'm more than willing to do that. I am more than willing to do that. But let me introduce you to my daughter. See what she did? Did you hear her? Did you listen to her? She said, if I just touch him, I will be healed. I want that from you, Jairus. I want that from you, my disciples. I want that from you today. And this is where I come back to the boat scene when Jesus said to the disciples, why are you fearing? Do you still have no faith? And then they said, who is this? And we've learned in Mark's gospel that his call to faith has everything to do with what you believe about him. Well, if chapter 3 showed us a series of wrong responses to him, he's crazy, he has a demon, what has chapter 4 and 5 shown us? It's shown us who he is. It's shown us that he is the Son of God, Lord over creation, Lord over the demonic realm, and now even the demons obey and fear him. Now, what is everyone being pressed with? Well, what happens? As he's standing there, right at that moment, someone comes back from Jairus' house and says, your daughter is dead. Don't bother him anymore. In other words, there's nothing he can do. Just leave it alone. All got away. To which, from the multitude standpoint, had he not been distracted, he would have never made it. But in light of this, Jesus takes what just happened with his daughter and says, Jairus, now you're tested. You've just witnessed my daughter put her hand of faith on me. I want you to do the same right now. So in front of the disciples, in front of the multitudes, he says, it's the great moment, don't be afraid, only believe. Oh, that's so much like the boat. Why are you afraid? Why do you still not believe? Think of the scenario. The greatest impossibility of life has just been presented to you. The greatest impossibility. All hope has been dashed. Everything's been lost. For Jairus, in the face of death, Jesus now says, death has happened. Only believe. Believe what? She's dead. What can you do at this point? In other words, put your hand on me, Jairus. But what can you do? I've asked you to put your hand on my daughter. What can you do at this point? It's over. I don't know how you're going to do it. Jesus says, believe. Isn't that what he calls you to today? It is the same scenario. You're all heading for the grave. Did you know that? Your loved one next to you, your daughter next to you, all heading for the grave. He grabs Peter, James, and John. I have no idea why. He takes these three. He walks up and he sees the commotion. Everyone's weeping. Everyone's wailing loudly. Do you know at that time they would hire mourners? And they would come in and they would reek out and just mourning, screech out, to put on a performance of mourning, to get everyone mourning. And Jesus walks up to the scene and says, what's all this commotion? What is all this? The child's not dead. She's sleeping. And you read, they ridiculed and laughed at him. What a terrible thing to say. Can you imagine if I walked in to a little 12-year-old's death and said that? She's just sleeping. I mean, you'd run me out. But if Jesus is the Lord of creation, if he's the Lord of the demonic realm, if Jesus is Lord over death, well, that affects everything. If not even death can stop him from saving, what else is there to hold you back from believing? What else do you want? Jesus was not calling Jairus to inspect the facts first. Jesus was not calling him to see if it would be true and then believe. Jesus was saying, put your hand on me right now, Jairus. Did I not say, and Jesus said to Martha, if you believed, you would see the glory of God in the face of death? Jairus, believe. Well, Jesus clears out all the naysayers, fulfilling what he said, he who does not have even what he has will be taken away. And now he's about to give those who have even more. The pain of it must have been unbearable. The next thing we read is he walks in, there's the little body, and think about this. There's the little body of a 12-year-old. And he takes his hand and he grabs her hand. And he says, Talitha, Kumi, little girl, I say, arise. And immediately, with his hand, grabbing her hand, she gets up. For she was 12 years of age. That day, Jairus saw Jesus put his hand on his dying daughter and must have realized he gave him and his daughter a much greater gift than anything else. The gift of faith. I love this passage because of where it forces us today. We all are walking some path. Many people are attached to Jesus, everyone here in some way. But Jesus is not after superficial following. Jesus is not after your amazement. Jesus is calling you to believe, to trust him, to put out your hand. You may not see how all the circumstances in front of you will be solved. You may not see how all this is going to work out. That's okay. You don't need to. But you do need to hear him. And you do need to stop fearing. And you do need to reach out your hand and believe him. Don't you care about us, Jesus? Reach out your hand, says Jesus. The hand of faith, which is, as the Belgic says, the hand is the hand and mouth of the soul by which we receive Christ. Who did that for you? Who did what for you? Think about this. It's the whole story right here. He says, reach out your hand today, believing tomorrow he will, with his resurrected hand, grab yours out of the grave. He says today, reach out your hand believing when you can't see it. Tomorrow he's going to come with his resurrected hand and pull yours out of the grave because he's going to death. He's going to the cross. And that's why he tells them, don't say anything. My resurrection has to happen first. Then it'll be broadcast. Well, that changes everything, doesn't it? If he has that kind of power, if he's the eternal Son of God, he didn't want this broadcasted because he has to go and die at the appointed time. He had to go to the cross. He had to be risen, raised up, so that there would be a hand to lift you out of the grave. Because you're all going there. And you see, there are moments when Jesus pulls us off the fence. Just as he said to Jairus, shown in the woman, he says to us today, you're crying out to me for many things. You're worried about many things. You're fearing many things. Do you know that I care for you? You know that I care for you. You know that I care about your needs and your life and your worries. So I've told you to cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. But as you ask for my hand to uphold you, in the moments of your despair, you need to ask whether your hand has come out to embrace me in true faith. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Well, Lord, you have taught us about faith, even saying that faith is of a mustard seed moves mountains. And we realize how shallow we are in our following. And we ask for forgiveness that we have run around in fear, run around worried about so many things. And still, we need to come today and trust you. Forgive us, Lord. Help us. Give us even faith as of a mustard seed. Give us faith like this woman who had so been convinced of who you are, convinced of your power with the little that she had, that if she just embraces you, she would be healed. May we go our way, and by your power and free gift, may our faith make us well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have, or praise reports, comments about the program, or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.